it. This ends with me starting a new generation. I'm glad you're also excited about that. So I'm going to share a little bit about our story, myself, Krista, and our kids, and then weave into it some of the truths that I believe God wants to come and put in our hearts. And I'm really trusting God. I said to Dylan, last year, December, we really saw God moving. I said to him, Dylan, I don't know why, but today, Sunday, we were talking on Friday, and I said, I really feel like God wants to. And if there's one person that gets radically set free today, it was all worth it. But I know that there are some people who really need to hear what I'm saying. And I'm going to ask you, not because I'm sharing it, but this is God's word. If you know of someone that needs to hear this, and that needs help in this, please send this to them. I'll send you my notes. The audio recording will be online sometime this week. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. How many of you are born again and when God came into your life, you felt like, man, God's changed some stuff? All right, there's about half the hands, so we're going to have a fantastic altar call today. How many of you will never lift your hand no matter what I ask you? We'll ask that again. How many of you are born again and you felt God change you? There we go. But here's what I've also realized, that some of us, and sometimes we see people getting saved and they start a journey, but somehow the devil, Satan, demons, evil spirits, forces of darkness, they try and cling some of their past cycles and they try and hold on to you. Anyone witness with that? I've had that. It's like the devil wants to remind you of, yeah, but what are your family going to say? Yeah, but what is your wife going to say? What are your brothers going to say? I had four brothers. They didn't all like the fact that I was radically saved. And I said, to hell with the devil, I will be white hot for Jesus, and I couldn't care who's coming with me. I pray that you get saved. That was my attitude. You can hear I'm getting angry now because I hate the devil, and he hates me, and that's fine. When you see him bringing chaos into families because of stupid traditions, languages, culture, I say, to hell with the devil, man. Let us start a new generation. I saw that firsthand, and my wife and I are this beginning of a whole new generation. Okay, I'm getting angry now. I'm getting angry at the devil. So this is our story. We get saved. I get saved in Durban. Good people come from Durban, okay? And my brother and I, man, we just got radically saved. We started praying. It's crazy. I can share about that all day. But I was so well discipled, and I'm so grateful for that. A pastor preached on fasting. We started fasting. We fasted 21 days. And some way, we just saved. So we're like, how do we fast? Okay, let's do this. And right there, God starts using me prophetically. People are getting healed. I've got 6 months to wait until I go to the army. So I went to my pastor every day to be discipled, and I just did evangelism on the streets in Durban on the Bluff. Had some scary experiences with dogs because I'd walk into the yard and just go and knock on people's doors and just tell them about Jesus, invite them to church, pray with them. And all of a sudden, my pastor shared this thing on generational curses. And I remember it like yesterday. It was such an eye-opener. And I'm going to share some of that, but with a slightly different angle. And I remember my brother and I, in our fast somewhere, I forget which day it was. I think it was halfway, like day 10 or 11 or 12. We got together. We had communion. And Andre and I said, Satan, enough. We draw the line in the sand. We covenant with one another that we will be the start of a new generation. We were born into an Afrikaans culture, and some things about the Afrikaans culture I don't like, but some things about every culture I don't like, okay? Come on, let's be honest. God wants to set some of you free from your culture. In some cultures, there's a spirit of arrogance. You think you're better than others. You look down on others. In some cultures, je moet mis nou gaan swat. Says who? There's a performance in some cultures. I'm mentioning cycles and cultures. And when my brother and I, we said, enough, we will not be the product of our poor parents in Jesus' name. We will not have lack and poverty in our family. We bind and curse that spirit of, there's so many, cancer, alcohol. We made a list and the devil didn't like it, and that's fine. But I can tell you now, from that time, we walked in a new generation, and we've experienced the blessings of God. I remember when Michael was born. I've got two children. They married, happily married, and they both love Jesus. When Michael was born, we got together one day, and I remember one of my pastor friends said to me, Leon, he still said to me, John, you need to break certain things of your past. Otherwise, you will be a father to Michael that he doesn't deserve. God wants you to be a better father, okay? So what did we do? We got before God, and we made a covenant. Krista and I, we said, we want to raise our kids the way we were never raised. That's what we said. We honor our parents. Till today, I honor my mom. My dad, in this week, it was 8 years ago, 9 years ago that he passed away, and I will always honor him. Why? The Bible says, you honor your father and mother, that it'll go good with you. But they weren't perfect parents. How many of you are perfect parents this morning? It's a very good self-image. And so my mouth is very dry. Tell the person next to you, it's time to break the cycle. But I can tell you now, there were things that happened in those early years. My greater family, I've got 15. There were 15 of us. We were cousins. And about 5 or 6 aunt and uncle. Oh, is that Halls? Thank you. They would try and organize these family get-togethers. And Andre and I were so in love with Jesus, we didn't want to drink. We didn't want to do what they were doing. And we stood out like a sore thumb. Are you with me? Now I drink wine because, for whatever reasons, I don't know, I quite enjoy wine. Please don't get drunk. I've never been drunk by the grace of God. Neither has Krista. Are you with me? And we would just try and share Jesus with our family. And we realized, I looked at Andre and I said, Andre, this is meaningless. They are stuck in their traditions. And in the Afrikaans culture, you've got to impress. You've always got to dress right. All of that. We just drew a line in the sand and said, we're not going to do that. This is how I would go to church in Durban. Like, we didn't need to impress anybody. That whole thing of performance, trying to impress people, and it's very, very subtle. How many of you are witnessing with some of the things I'm saying? All right? And you must break free of that. The devil will hold you to your culture, to your language. He will hold you to things like a cycle of depression. God, he will try and make you say things like, oh, well, it runs in the family. No. It doesn't have to. Certain medical things can, yes, but it doesn't have to. Listen to me. Depression can be stopped. I fight that thing every day of my life. I say no in Jesus' name. And I've got my little battle plan and things that I work through. And the one is loud worship music. Loud. My wife knows. They hear my car with the windows closed coming into the security gate in our estate. Are you with me? There are some things the devil will constantly just try and nag, 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 nag. Spoke to someone else the other day. Why are you addicted to alcohol? Well, it runs in our family. I said, it doesn't have to. It can end with you. Anger. In some families, anger is an issue. In some families, poverty. That you're poor because your father was poor and everyone in your family is poor. You don't have to. It can end with you. Sickness. Don't stand for it, people. Listen to me. Start a new generation. And I hope every single one of you, no matter how young or old you are, will respond to this today. That's my honest prayer. Every person listening, whether you've done it or not, we do this often. We remind each other, honey, we've started a new generation in the name of Jesus. I listened to my daughter ministering to her cousin with one ear on the balcony by the pool, saying that her father drinks too much. And she said to Megan, my daughter, it ends with me. And I thought, yes, well done, girl. Well done. And she is determined. Megan's husband, Devin, there's a whole lot of things that he came out of. He said to me in the car once, I am determined not to be like my family. And so in all of our families, Chris and I have had to speak to her side of the family and say, in certain things, we're not going to do that anymore because we are Michael and Megan's parents and we will raise them in a godly way. I offended some family, but at the end of the day, I stand for truth. Today, they all come to us. Oh, jetzt ek 'n mooi kinders. See, yeah. Because we started a new generation. Even in Josh Jen, Sunningdale, all the people would say, yo, your kids, they talk to everyone. They're so, and they're like 16, 14, 12. I say, yeah, that's how we've raised them. Children must be heard and seen. Put them on the dining room table. Don't make them play. That's how we raised our kids. Oh, help us, Jesus. I'm just sharing. We had a dream for our kids. Today, Megan pulls me aside 3-4 days ago. She knows what I'm preaching on. She says, Dad, I just want to thank you for making a stand never to be pulled back into some of our wrong cultures. She said, thank you for starting a new generation. I said, my sweetie, we make the decision, watch this, and God does it. God honors the decision. Was it hard work? Yes, but it's worth it. How many of you are feeling the stirring? Come on, I'm responding to my own altar call this morning. I'm saying, God, even more, may we be a new generation. You see, I get upset because you know why? The devil lies to you. He makes you say things that, well, that just runs in our family. Well, that's just our family tradition. I said, no. If it contradicts the word of God, you with a smile on your face saying, I can't do that. But I love you and I respect you as my brother, my cousin, my uncle, my mom, my dad. I tell you, what if, friends, the generation, our next generation, pick up the bad habits of our culture? What's going to happen to the kingdom? We're going to decrease. But what if we say to our kids, you carry the torch? One of the things in our family, Megan always laughs, and Michael says, your dad, you always do things full out. I said, absolutely, that's in our genes. Now, in my Afrikaans culture, you must know what dentlik wees. I said, no, to heck with that. I'll go to church with a t-shirt and a vest and slops, and I'll offend you. Yeah, are you with me? Maybe that's why I'm John. I should have been John the Baptist. Offend the religious, set the sinners free. Hallelujah. There's something in you that's got to rebel. You've got to say enough. I was going to shout now, but I won't. Something in you has got to, and I love the way Dylan prays for people. He gets you to do something. Shout. And that is so beautiful. Something in you needs to shout. Freedom! Some of you got a fright now. How desperate do you want it? Because the devil will do everything to hold you to your culture, your language, your traditions, all of that. Jesus said your traditions have nullified the word of God. In other words, because of your traditions, you've made the power of God and the word of God of no effect in your life. How's your family get together going to look this year? And you do it with a smile. I wouldn't say offend people like I have. I've made some mistakes. But man, I don't regret any of them. They all know, and they all come phoning me when they've had a heart attack or there's a trauma. In the early years, it was bad. Andre and I, we were swimming upstream. Now, they all come to us for help. But for me, I said, believe John. Yo, what's going on? I said, you need Jesus. You need to stand for truth. Break from those things. Draw a line in the sand and say, to hell with the devil. This stops with me. I think we must pray now. Okay? If you want to get technical, Kristen and I, we've studied a lot. She studied psychology. We've both done counseling courses. There's a thing called epigenetics. Listen to this. It's research that proves this. Trauma, undealt with, can actually affect your biology and who you are into the next 4 generations. It's been proven. Guess what? It ends with you. As a matriculant in Durban, I was a scruffy, unhygienic boy. And my parents thought it would be wise to make me sleep in the garage without a broken door, wind coming in, rain coming in every day for 6 months, and I had to wash my own washing. With my colors blazer, I was playing first-team cricket, first-team hockey, public speaking, debating, and there I was sleeping in a garage, which was filthy. I had to break that thing. My parents eventually, later on, when I was 22, they apologized. They said, John, we didn't realize how that would harm you. I said, you know what? I've forgiven you already, and it's under the blood, but I had to fight that thing. Spirit of rejection. That's not how you discipline your child. I'm being vulnerable now, so that you know I've always had to fight some battles. My brother committing suicide, 2017, October, the spirit of suicide tried to come knocking every single day. He says, you next, you next, you next. It's no use. You next. Who loves you? Who's going to care for you? Who's going to visit you? Who's going to come knock on your door and just listen to you? Every single day for 3 days, for 3 years. And I said, enough. Are you with me, friends? This is real. This is real. If you've gone through something, make sure you've dealt with it. Don't let undealt with trauma. Don't leave it. Deal with it. Come to the elders. Find someone. Chart. Find someone. Get the prayers. Gary, find someone. Say, I need help, man. And it starts with your mind. That's why Paul said, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your experiences, your paradigms, your upbringing, all of that shapes how you think and how you see yourself. Make sure it lines up with God's word, not your traditions, your language, your culture. I don't know your name. I'm so sorry, and I keep forgetting it. Shireen. I felt like God wants to set you free. I know your unsaved family. Your family's unsaved, but there's a pressure on you, like they're looking at you through a magnifying glass, and you must be careful. There's a spirit of performance that wants to attach itself to you, almost where you feel, if I don't look like a Christian, they're not going to get saved. God says, no more. You be free. You be yourself. You live in God's grace. Amen. Close your eyes. Father, do it. Set her free now. I saw, as we were worshiping, I just saw you, and I really felt that so strong for you. Does that make sense? Be free. No spirit of performance. You don't need to perform for anyone. You be you. Even if they see your faults, it doesn't matter. Okay? So, Lisa Marie is standing strong. She's like our resident evangelist. And she shares the truth. But I know in her heart, I shared with her what I was going to preach on. She says, oh, John. And I know she's busy going through that thing right now of I draw a line in the sand. My mouth is very dry again. How many minutes have I been going? Okay. The second thing about research, listen to this. Intergenerational trauma. Research shows the following, especially in children. The effects of trauma, if not dealt with, will show up in descendants through emotional and behavioral patterns, such as anxiety and stress levels that are too high. There's such an onslaught on our young people today. Can I say something? Don't let this disciple your children. Please, turn the screens off. You play with your kids. You teach them. You show them. If they monitor the time that your children and young people that you spend online, this is the worst thing to be discipled by. Any screen. Okay? That's for free. And even in that, I think the next generation will need to be set free from that. From digital, I don't know what it is. But there's something that when people on Facebook or something, they feel validated. That's wrong. They feel heard, or they feel, our identity lies in Jesus, people, and in the body of Christ, the family. Okay? It's time to draw the line. This ends with me. Listen to four people in the Bible that each made a decision to start a new generation. The first one was Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. You can go and read about it. But he started a whole new bloodline, and he had to put the past behind him. He honored them, and the Bible says he was going to be the beginning of a whole new generation. And then the Bible says God honored his faith to say, I will be the beginning of a new generation. The second one, Joshua. Joshua said in chapter 24, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Okay? You can do the same. The third one, Gideon. I love this. I feel like I'm a Gideon sometimes because people look down on me and wrote me off, and I love it. It's great. Lord Jesus, may we all be Gideons, man. Listen to this. The Lord turned to Gideon and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel from the hand of the Midian. Am I not sending you? Please, my Lord, Gideon replied, How can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. Surely I will be with you, God says. And he says, and you will strike down all the Midianites as one man. Say this with me. I might be a Gideon, but God is on my side. Say that again. I might be a Gideon, but God is on my side. See, some of you need to be set free from low thinking. I'm the youngest. I am the youngest, but I had to fight this thing. I said, no ways. When I got saved, there's no musicians, and I wanted to learn how to play guitar. So I pray. I said, Lord, if someone blesses me with a guitar, I'll play music and I'll worship you. In that week, the worship leader comes and gives me a guitar with a case, and he says, I have no idea why I'm doing this, but God said I must give you this guitar. I learned, wrote some songs. I've led worship in Bloom in front of hundreds and then thousands of people, and I've loved worship ever since. Taught Michael and Megan some instruments. Today, Michael's leading worship in Joshua and Milnerton, and he looks at a music instrument and just learns it. But we're going to start a new generation. We're the first musos of our whole family. And when I learned, I'll never forget, my one brother came in and laughed. I said, that's fine. Watch this space. And we had revival meetings in Bloemfontein. We saw hundreds of people getting saved, set free. And I was in that worship team, writing songs, seeing the power of God move. How about you? And if you're saying, yeah, but John, that's Old Testament. Paul in the New Testament said this about himself. He said, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees, persecuting the church, killing Christians, yet God saves them. Guess what? He still let you choose. He still let you choose. And say, and one of the books, he says, that's not me. But the people are like saying, but that was you. He says, no, that's the, he's actually implying, saying, that's the old, unrenewed, unsaved Paul. And you can have the same. I think it's time for us to make some decisions. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says this. God says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Choose life so that you and your children may live. Have a family meeting. I remember, we actually do this quite often. We, Krista and I will hold each other to account. We say, how's our own traditions, good traditions going? And one of the things we introduced at our dinner table is we always share. And we had a rule. If you've had a bad day, you tell us. Here's why. Today, they trust us with everything. I would have a bad day, and I said, guys, I've had a terrible day. What happened? No, one of the sheep wanted to bite me. Accused me, labeled me. Just in the last 3 weeks, another one said, you're just in this for your own gain. And I smiled and I just walked back. This is not a member of the church. So people don't know. Okay? But you start a new generation. You be the start of a whole new generation that you never experienced. God will help you. And you do it often. Every now and then, you renew that commitment. David Pawson says, I was saved, I am saved, and I'm still getting saved. Meaning, every day, there's this constant renewal, constant commitment. Or am I the only one? Hey, it's true. And so too in this, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I remind you that on that day, on the 21st of December, I made a decision to start a new generation. Now, Holy Spirit, help me. And God's going to help you. Small little things. We made a decision to have fun in our family. And I was the start of being the clown in the family. In the beginning, it was a bit weird. And eventually, my whole family caught on. I would do funny things. I would put flour on my face and say, let's chow. Now, everyone's like that. Why? Man, I think we're too intense, man. Bring some joy into your home. When last did you ever pillow fight with your spouse or your kids? Really? Yes. Have joy. Do something weird. Do something wacky. It'll feel weird, but just keep on doing stuff and eventually, watch, a spirit of joy will enter your home like never before. And by the way, I'm not going to say that, don't worry. Close your eyes with me, but lift your head. Why? The psalmist says, I lift my head. Why is it that when we pray, we want to bow our head? I don't know. I think it's good to lift our heads, okay? I want to picture yourself. It's decision time. For some of you, you really must make a decision. Keep your eyes closed. For some of you, it's make or break. Parents, there are some of you that you have to draw that line in the sand. There's too much at stake. Your children and their children, that's what's at stake. Grandparents, leave a legacy. Now, I want to picture you saying some of the following, and I'm going to mention it. Just keep your eyes closed. Lord, today, this addiction ends with me. Today, abuse ends with me. Today, passive faith ends with me. Today, religion without relationship ends with me. Today, this poverty and lack ends with me. Today, sickness in my family ends with me. Today, depression ends with me. Today, alcohol abuse ends with me. Today, deception ends with me. Today, tradition ends with me. Today, religion ends with me. Today, anger ends with me. And lastly, today, divorce ends with me. Now, if that's you on any of those, I'm going to ask you to maybe do the boldest thing you've ever done. And I'm standing in the front purely because I want to renew this with the Lord this morning and say, Father, more than ever before, we're going to continue to be a new generation. I'm going to ask you to stand. Keep your eyes closed. Just focus on the Lord. Can we have, are you standing or can we have worship? Or is that all right? If there is, Sorry, Brew. If you need prayer, I'll also pray with you. Here's why. The psalmist says this. He says in Psalm 78, we will not hide them from their children, but will declare to the next generation the praises of the Lord and his might and the wonders he has performed. Another translation says this. One generation will speak to the next generation of his wondrous mights. Let's do that. Now, I know there's parents and children here. You can do it as a group. I went to my parents and I said, I forgive you for this and this and this and this. And I said, I know you were not perfect, but I forgive you. And if you're a child here, you need to honor your parents if your parents are with you. But as a family, bring in some new things from today. You make the decision. You have a family meeting and say, right, what are some of the cool things that we're going to introduce as a family? We're going to start a whole new generation. Maybe you need to be set free of some stuff this morning. And we're going to pray just now. Okay? I want you just to pray under your breath. Here's what you're going to do. Boldly, loud. You're going to say in the name of Jesus, I renounce. And you say what it is. Spirit of suicide. Depression. You call that thing. Here's how prayer works. The enemy hears when you renounce that. Listen to me now. You must take authority. You as a person, you take authority. The enemy doesn't like it when you call a spade a spade. You say it. I renounce the spirit of suicide. You say it. I reject that. I resist you in Jesus' name. And you pray with passion. And then just now, we're going to ask for some of you, if you need some more prayer, you're going to come to the front. I ask some of you to just pray and be prayed up. But I believe God wants to set some people free here this morning. All right. I want us all to say the following. Pray this following prayer after me. Keep your hand, your head lifted, your eyes closed, and hands raised. All right. You're receiving. Say this with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus. Okay, hold on. We need to pray with a bit more volume. Okay? You got it? Pray like God hears you. All right. Lord Jesus. I come to you now, and in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this message. I say today, Lord, it ends with me. In the name of Jesus, right now you're going to mention what it is, right? In the name of Jesus, I resist, I renounce, and I reject. Now you mention what it is. You say what it is right there. You say what it is. Say after one another. I reject this. I reject this. I renounce that. I resist this. Just say it. For some of you, it's suicide. For some of you, it's depression. For some of you, it's substance abuse. For some of you, it's culture. You say, I reject everything that's bad of my culture. I reject that this morning in Jesus' name. Everything that's bad in my language, I reject this morning. The traditions that people try to put on me, I reject this morning. And Father, I, as John, I say, I reject again the spirit of suicide in my family. I reject again a spirit of depression. I say, you are not welcome. We have started a new generation, and we will push through in Jesus' name. Now keep renouncing stuff, even if you've got to do it over and over again, right? For some of you, there's so much family pressure on you, you need to draw a line in the sand. There's too much family pressure on you. You need to say, enough, enough. I'm starting a new family, and this is going to be a generation of God in Jesus' name.